Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody. It's Kevin David Thomas.
I hit my head.
What'd you do? Rob was cueing me to talk, and you hit your head with your own hand?
I hit my hand when I was doing the finger thing. I pulled my finger back, and I hit my headphones, and it hit my head.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday. It's just Rob and Kevin once again. Rob, I don't know what is going on with him. He's a mess over there.
What the hell happened to me?
You're like an old man over there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm fine. Hold on.
How you doing? Are you okay?
Take me back to the home. Hold on. I got a cough now. Talk for a second.
I hope you guys are having a good week.
Okay,
what you
I'm
listen
better.
To? You good show tunes? Let me know.
Me? Oh, no, the
yeah,
listeners?
What listening to? Hey, what's the last thing you listened to, Rob?
You know what the last thing I listened to, actually? You mean like a show or a CD?
Because
they're different.
Wait, you mean like you put CDs actually on somewhere? Or do you mean like an album, Rob? What do you mean?
I mean like a cast recording, or does it not have to be a cast recording?
Gotcha. Okay, the CD thing threw me.
Sorry.
A cast recording. I'd love to know. Or what you do last.
The last thing I listened to was actually a listener recommended this to us as possibly as being a favorite thing at some point. And I downloaded it, and I was listening to it. I'm like, oh, this is really good. It's going to be a favorite thing. It's not going to be my favorite thing this week. But it's the overtures of Julie Stein.
Yes.
From the National National Symphony in London.
Yes.
There's volume one and volume two.
Yes.
And I was listening to that today because I had never heard it before. It is going to be a favorite thing at some point. It's just not my favorite thing tonight. But I was listening to it and I thought, wow, when you really think of, like, if you had to say there's a composer who defines the Broadway sound, mm-hmm. I don't know anybody else besides Julie Stein that I think does it so well.
Oh, exactly.
Or is like, so brassy.
I mean, all
right?
of them. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I mean, even the flop shows were sound
fade
really
out,
amazing.
Fade in.
I know you like that one. Yeah. That's a good one. That's such a good one. So anyway, you know, that was the last thing I was listening to before we went on the
good
air. What about you? What was the last thing you were listening to?
I'll tell you it when I tell you my favorite thing.
Oh, my God. That's Sandy Dennis in The Out-of-Towners. Do you ever see The Out-of-Towners?
No.
Oh, my God, George. Sorry. Okay. Any Out-of-Towners fans out there? Any listeners out there? Anybody who thought this was the Behind the Curtain inspirational podcast?
I know someone who's listening. Our good friend Carl Danielson, because he mentioned to me
Carl.
A Halloween musical theater. Because I remember last week I was like, is there any musical theater Halloween shows?
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, and Snoopy, there's the Vigil and the Great Pumpkin.
Thanks, Carl.
And I was like, Carl, good one. And I also thought of Adam's Family and Rocky Horror Picture Show. I mean,
yeah, good one. Oh, still, once again, no one Halloween from applause. That's not going to be.
Let's not go there. Let's just, you look like a whore.
Damn you, daddy.
No, that
look like a whore. Yeah, that's it.
You look like a whore. I mean, literally, it's sung too.
That is, yeah, it's Penny Fuller.
You don't know what we're talking about? Go put on applause. But I think everyone of a certain age definitely knows what we're talking about because you guys love applause.
I love applause.
Me too.
I've seen applause twice now. How is
that
possible?
But, you know, there's a certain generation that, like, that was the album that they, like, played over and over again. I feel like we interviewed a lot of people that was their,
yeah.
you know, the show that really got them really interested.
It was a big one for people.
Yeah.
Margo! But alive! I can't do Lauren Bacall. I feel bitchy and twitchy and manic. I can't do it.
Oh, I love it, though.
No, it sounds like the fucking Cowardly Lion.
Whoa,
it's not even Lauren Bacall.
All right, okay.
I'm angry at myself.
I know. Oh, Rob.
But alive. I can do Hearts Not Diamonds from The Fan, which is one of the first favorite things we've talked about.
I forgot about that.
That was one of the first ones. Remember
years ago,
throwback.
Literally.
Lauren Bacall in The Fan, one of the worst movies ever made, but so
You're
good.
A throwback to your throwback, Rob.
I'm throwing back on my throwback.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is only... I thought I could do it in yoga. Yep.
I have no transition, but I want to give a shout out to our students for Legally Blonde this past weekend.
Wow.
At the the Professional Conservatory of Musical Theater at where we teach at NYFA.
Wow.
They did a great job. I was proud of them.
Boy, first of all, yes, they were wonderful. The kids were absolutely wonderful. And our former guest, Todd Buonapane, directed it beautifully. But I have to say, Kevin, music directed it. It sounded awesome, Kevin. Especially those full ensemble sounds were just incredible. And I was just talking about this with our listener and frequent guest, Robbie Rizel. I think, oh my God, you guys might be one of the best opening numbers of a musical. And anyone who tells me differently,
I
throw down.
Like I said last week, it's better constructed than anyone thinks it is. You think of all the exposition in that song. I mean, yep. Really, you get their parents, you get the people, you get what she's going after. It's yeah, you're right.
Robbie countered with another opening number. Okay. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, that's pretty good. It's Your Wedding Day from The Wedding Singer.
Okay. That's a good one.
I don't, I'm, although I
first
do.
20 million people from my favorite year. That's a classic. Well, we could go on and on.
Those are like obvious. Well, it's like, oh, it's a musical. Legally Blonde, you're like, this is going to be fun. Oh, my God. You guys.
That was taken about that
They're
long
just too. Like the couple from Titanic. Only no one dies. That's genius. That is a brilliant. I don't know. That lyric. Also, need we forget, Courtney, take your break. What four words in musical theater? God. Is so iconic as Courtney, take your break.
That video.
Oh, Red Door production.
Well, no, oh, that's great, but no, we can't even. That's just wrong. But where they take all the Courtney, take your breaks and yes. Splice them together. It's so good. Also, speaking of videos, did you see that video that Ray Kampf sent us? I have to recommend it to everybody.
That kid's amazing.
O'Leary Car Ride Show Tunes 2018. You guys,
say it again, Kev.
All right, it could be a favorite thing, but just guys, pause and watch it. It's worth it. This kid, here we go. O' Leary, L-E-A-R-Y, Car Ride, Show Tunes, 2018. I'm sure most of you have already seen it, but I'm not going to tell you anything. Just watch it.
That kid's a star.
Welcome back. Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That kid is a star. You guys will see this. You'll see what we're talking about. It's amazing. Oh, my God, you guys. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, you know what I saw last night?
What?
I saw Torch Song.
Yes.
It was very good. It was very good. It was really good. It was nice to be in the haze. I have not been in the haze since the renovations.
How does it look?
It looks fabulous. And the seats are comfortable.
So intimate.
Such an intimate theater. God, do I love it. Anyway, this production, though, was really, really, really wonderful. And if you get a chance, go see it. Mercedes Rule. Definitely. Is on stage again. Boy, that makes me so happy. But Michael Urie's doing a fabulous job in the Harvey Fierstein role. It's just really, really good. So if you go get a chance, go see it.
It is the year of the play, isn't it? My goodness, so much.
Plays.
Yeah, it's really, and more to come. You know,
and more to come. Not to be confused with Mordecai.
I knew you were going to say that, Rob.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Hey, Kevin, when does the Hervé Villechaize movie come out? Does anybody know this? Because I'm like sitting here with bated breath waiting.
I know that there's a poster for it outside of the school that where we teach. So
don't think I'm not happy about that. Because I am.
I may have taken a picture and sent it to Rob. Just full disclosure, everybody.
I love him so much. And I'll work on new impressions. Don't worry. New ones will come down the pike.
No, we know. We all know. We know you will.
I just don't know when inspiration's going to strike me.
Yep. No, we know that as well.
Definitely. I just don't know when you're going to strike me.
No.
That's why we do these favorite things apart now, because I'm afraid you're going to just go nuts one day and throw me out the window.
Podcasting.
Oh, poor Gilbert and Sullivan.
You guys know that. I mean, most people know, but they hated each other. They wrote all these operettas together, but they wrote them supposedly through Messenger, through mail.
Is that true?
No, that's what I read. I mean, I'm sure someone can correct me. Someone from the Gilbert and Sullivan Society probably will hop on and let us know. But maybe that was just urban legend, but I thought that they like hated each other, or at least were not on the up and up. But they still were so successful that who else is as brilliant as you? So you might as well make this thing last.
Did you ever do any shows at the Gilbert and Sullivan Players in New York? Is that what they're called? G&N?
That is. They're there. I auditioned. I was not good enough to get in. But my best friend, my buddy Derek, was in them. Did the other stuff for a long time.
Derek Cohen.
Derek. He's going to be in Kiss Me, Kate. Yay!
You got so excited.
Revival.
Yeah, I saw that cast got announced today. And the cast for Clueless, the musical off Broadway, got announced today.
You are right.
Which is another one.
You know what? Oh, it's tough. That's, you know how you say if something's too, if a movie's too popular, it's hard to musicalize it. I'm sure they're going to reinvent it. It's going to be really fun, and it's, I can't wait. But it's, you know, what do you think of Clue? I just instantly think of Madeline Kahn. I mean, I instantly
I'm so sorry. Clueless. Clueless with Alicia Silverstone.
I didn't even think of that.
There is a Clue play that's been making the circuit.
Yes,
that Hunter Foster directed. It was a Bucks County.
I can't believe I just went there. Sorry, guys.
No. There is a Clue musical.
Okay. Well, there was one from the 80s as well, but Clueless they announced. Gotcha. Clueless. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. I did not enunciate. Hey, maybe our listeners can help us out here. I have been looking for something for years, and I cannot find it. In the 90s. There was a Gilligan's Island musical, and I saw it in Thousand Oaks, California. It was a tour. Does anyone have the music, or did anybody else see this besides me?
A Gilligan's Island musical in the West Coast.
Yes, it was a Gilligan's Island musical. It was in Los Angeles. I remember seeing it. I liked a lot of the score, and I've been trying to find it, but I cannot find it. Nobody has it. Does anyone have the Gilligan's Island, the musical score, or does anyone remember that there was a Gilligan's Island musical?
All right. There you go.
That's all. I just wanted to throw out there.
I'm sure someone will know. I'm sure.
Hey, I heard you watched Shangri-La Plaza. I got the 1 a.m. text from you saying I watched Shangri-La Plaza. Face in the photo looked like you were watching a train wreck.
It was. You know, sometimes you do this, Rob, with your favorite things. You prepare us, because I actually listen to the podcast. I go back and listen to it again because I like to hear what you have to say.
You do?
And yeah, I do. Sometimes I do. But it is like. It was beyond what I thought it could possibly be. And yet it was from 1990, and I'm like, how? And yet is it brilliant in a weird way? Maybe I can't stop watching it. And it was just, I almost watched it again.
Cause you want to learn the donut song for auditions. Yeah.
But the way they go from speaking into singing in a real – they didn't comment on it being a musical. It wasn't like
– no.
Except for the donut song. But they would just start singing for no apparent reason, you know? And it was just –
listen, I love a Terrence Mann TV musical.
Oh, man. That was just
– he's ever on this podcast, I have questions.
Oh, yes. If you haven't, you guys, go back and listen to the last favorite – was it last favorite thing?
Yeah, last week, yeah.
And it was – you'll hear us this weird – pilot for a TV show.
And also a big shout out to our guest this week, the wonderful Jerry Vicky.
Yeah, Jerry.
Isn't he adorable?
Yeah, good guy. Sweet guy.
I love him. I'm telling you, you know what I loved about his story? Because I don't think we've ever had this. I don't think we had this on the podcast before. He followed his dreams. He just started later than most other people.
That's right.
Which says it's never too late to follow your dreams. So I really, really liked that. I liked his story.
Yeah.
And he knew mob people. He knew the people from the mob. Which
that's
I
right.
liked. Good for Jerry. All right.
Favorite thing.
Okay. So I was actually gonna do the Julie Stein one, but I haven't done enough research on it. It's gonna be next week. But I got something. In the last time we spoke to each other, it seems like, to quote Hamilton, the world has been turned upside down.
Oh my gosh.
Because whoa.
I know.
I was saying to you, Kevin, before we went on the air, you know, it was interesting to watch Legally Blonde. It was the day that Kavanaugh was confirmed to the court. It was a very interesting performance because there's a frat party and there's some throwaway lines about like people drinking being like, oh, one of these people could like be on the Supreme Court or be a president. And it's a throwaway line. But that night it like sent a shiver throughout the entire audience. Really, really interesting. So I was going to do something a little bit more serious, but we need to laugh.
I think so.
Okay, so this is a YouTube clip for you. This is a YouTube clip from a television show that I like. The TV show is Late Night with Conan O'Brien, not the TBS one, his first one that was on NBC. You need to type in to your YouTube search engine, Late Night Triumph at the Tony Awards.
Oh, no, I can't. It's too awkward.
Late night triumph at the Tony Awards. And you want to make sure you're watching the clip that's 10 minutes and 42 seconds long. Donna There's Murphy. A shorter one. Donna Murphy. 10 minutes, 42 seconds long. It's late night triumph at the Tony Awards. So for those of you that don't know, Conan O'Brien has a writer on his show named Robert Smigel. Brilliant, brilliant writer. He's the gentleman who created the Incredibly Gay Duo on SNL and a bunch of those TV Funhouse shorts. He's amazing. But if you are unaware, he has an alter ego. He puts a rubber puppet on his hand of a dog, and the dog is called Triumph, the insult comic dog who wears a big bow tie and has a cigar, and he's supposed to be like the Don Rickles of dogs, who goes around and harasses people. He sends them to Star Wars openings. He sends them to, like, July 4th celebrations. But this one makes me laugh so hard, because in 2007, for the 61st annual Tony Awards, he sends Triumph to interview people walking in on the red carpet of the Tony Awards. It is. I don't want to tell you anything really about it, because I just want you to experience the genius of him interviewing people as they walk down the red carpet. People like Jeff Daniels and Judd Hirsch. Triumph calls the Tony Awards the who's who of who cares. And I'm going to tell you my favorite joke, and then I'm going to let you watch it on your own. Donna Murphy is walking down the red carpet, and her publicist, who I don't know who the publicist is. I have some thoughts on her. The Triumph says, he goes, who do you represent? She goes, the goddess Donna Murphy. And he's like, well, bring Donna over. So Donna comes over and he goes, Donna, in order for you to be here, who's taking your shift at the Olive Garden tonight? I don't know why it made me laugh. So, and she's a good sport, by the way, throughout the whole thing. She's so funny. But it made me laugh so hard. Who took your shift at Olive Garden tonight? Because actors have to work more than one job. We all have other jobs.
Oh, man.
She's a 3-time Tony Award winner. Let her be. Anyway, so it puts a smile on my face. I don't want to say anything more about it, except you're going to go to your YouTube search engine. You're going to type in Late Night Triumph at the Tony Awards, and you're watching the clip that is 10 minutes and 42 seconds, and watch what he does to the matinee party ladies. He gives them a little shout out, and these two women are really, really good sports, is all that I'm going to say. That's mine. What's your favorite thing?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Oh man, that's a good one, but oh, I can only watch so much of it. It gets
You don't like what you don't like awkward comedy?
No, like that Impractical Jokers show on True TV
that I'm obsessed with.
I know I can't do it. I can't watch. I want to change the channel, as we say in my household.
What?
Yeah. I know. I don't do awkward. I don't know like that. Oh, I squirm. I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I'm sure there are people like me. But yeah,
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But why would you want to be friends with them? I love that stuff.
My favorite thing, the last thing I listened to, and I can't stop listening to it. This is a Cast album.
Ooh, we haven't done that in a
Cast
while.
Album. I know, in a while, right? And I discovered this, and it was on Broadway recently. I call it the dark period of my life, because I wasn't going to see a lot of shows on Broadway at this, because I was a little uninspired. But this podcast brought me back. A little sad moment. It wasn't a hit on Broadway. It has a pop score. No, it's not a pop score. It was written by a pop rock writer. It is It opened on October 2014. But it's one you like forget. You forget that it played Broadway.
2014.
Yeah.
In October of 2014?
That's right. October 26th. And it was...
I was living here. What
I know. Man. Oh, yeah. It's The Last Ship.
Oh.
The Sting musical.
Oh.
So I put it on because someone mentioned... I played a song in a class recently, August Winds, one of this haunting melody. And I was like, oh, this is actually very theatrical music. I'm impressed. I didn't know. I hadn't listened to any of it. I knew that he took great care to not just have these songs be, you know, pop tunes, but he really wanted to write theatrical music. And so then I put it on, and I was completely blown away, just completely blown away by the music. And, you know, full disclosure, I have listened to Sting in the past and, you know, I like his music. I was just so impressed with his writing. The show had like a stellar team. Like I didn't know that like Joe Mantello was the director. Yeah. You know, the book was by Brian Yorkey, of course, who did Next to Normal, and then John Logan, who wrote Red.
Yeah.
And so they had workshopped it and all that. But my focus though isn't necessarily on the show, but the score. I think that it is. There are other pop writers, I guess, that I featured or I talked about Paul Simon's Cape Man that I like as well, because I think he really, you know, you hear the Paul Simon in it, but it's also theatrical. You know, I feel the same way. I think Sarah Bareilles, you know, for all intents and purposes, did that with Waitress as well. But I just think that this music is really beautiful. And it's the story of a guy. It's very much like the plot of Green Willow, which only like five people will get and you.
Never will I marry.
And the leading guy is the same name, Gideon. And it's about a man who feels the urge to wander, to roam, to get away. And this man in the musical Last Ship is from a UK town. And Sting says it's like from his childhood. The story came to him where it was, you know, he experienced it. But it's about a guy who basically wants to get out of this small town. It's a shipbuilding town. Mm. And he wants to get out and go away and just leave. And much like in Green Willow, the same thing. And of course, he's got a love. And 15 years go by and he leaves her. And he comes back to town. And of course, everything's changed. It's no longer the shipbuilding business is going downtown and it's bad. And, you know, it's that sort of kind of classic story. But I think the music really serves it from what I can hear. And I wish I had seen it, I guess. If you listen to it, I would check out the songs All This Time, which is from an earlier pop album that he had. But it is amazing how that song is a classic I want song for the lead character, how he, you know, it's basically all him saying he wants to get out of this town. And I love that Sting sort of used the musical theater formula. You could hear the different songs that are the classic types, you know, like the sort of charm song in the second act, you know, that's funny, you know, the love song that's a wistful, like, you know, lost love song, that Aaron Lazar, who sings the song What Say You Meg. It's like I don't even I did Little Night Music with him and I don't even recognize his voice
on, he was on the great song. In that, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was like, so I don't know what it was like to see, so I don't even this is just the music I and the album it. That I really wanted. What was it like, Rob? I mean,
well, I'm gonna tell you in full disclosure, when I went, the person that I went with got sick at intermission, and so we actually had to take the person home. No. Oh, so it's fine, it's totally fine. So I didn't see act two, so I saw act one. Oh, it was I really liked it. It was so different. I feel like that season there was a lot of different things on Broadway. Was that also the season of Big Fish or no? No, it wasn't.
I don't think so. I think that was a little earlier.
I think that was the same theater. No, it couldn't have been. It couldn't have been the same. Yeah. Anyway.
No.
Anyway, so no, it was really wonderful. Aaron Lazar was great in it. I remember Fred Applegate was in it.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh my! Who was the woman? You just said her. She was marvelous. Who played the woman?
Rachel Tucker.
Oh God! Yeah, it was. It was really lovely. I honestly think, to be honest with you, I felt the Neil Simon was a little too big for it.
Yeah,
was that the Simon, right?
Yeah, and I think it would have done better to be a more intimate.
It felt intimate to me, even though it was about this big ship coming in. To me, there was an intimacy about it.
No, and the score, when you listen to it, I must say, you know, it was nominated for Best Score in Orchestrations, and that's what this album shows you. I mean, it really, the sound of it, it's more than just the you know, how pop music makes you feel something. It's not necessarily about the lyric, but it's what it makes you feel. But you get both, because the lyric writing is really good. I have to say, it's good songwriting. writing for musical theater. So I'd be curious what you guys think out there, if you agree with me or not. It's definitely, I think, worth a listen, though. So you should check out The Last Ship. Dun-dun-dun.
I agree. And then to cheer yourself up, take a look at Late Night Triumph. At the Tony Awards.
Yeah, you're right. Because I have to say, this album is definitely not the happy.
It was, I remember it was a depressing show.
Oh, God. The it was so. But it's haunting. Your heart out. I want to say it's haunting. So
it is haunting. I guess haunting is a great word for it.
For October, that will be my October favorite thing.
Because it's gloomy for you? Exactly. Were they Irish? Were they Irish in The Last Ship?
I don't know if they're Irish, but I think they're from this town. Where's called W, but it says a UK town, so let's just go with that.
I think
they're near Newcastle. They're near Newcastle, I think.
I like Sting. He's a good guy.
Oh, he's a consummate musician. I mean, the man he doesn't just like play in a band. I mean, he is a classically trained musician. He literally plays classical instruments. I mean, he's really incredible.
And anyway. He went in the show. Didn't he go in the show at some point?
Oh, yeah, to keep it open. He went in and he played the one lead role, but that poor guy, but he was put on standby. But yeah, to keep it open longer, because he made sales go up when he was in it, obviously. I'm kicking myself for not going to see it, you know? Oh,
well. Yeah, I wish I would have returned. Or just let the sick friend, you know, sit on the street until I was done.
You know, and the complaint was that it was because stop it. I wasn't even listening to you because I was looking at you.
Nobody listens to me, Kevin. Nobody listens.
No, but I was going to say it's they say that it really, you know, they said that people couldn't relate to this story, basically, about this town and, you know, that it was a shipbuilding town. But I think, you know, there is a way to relate to it because we have a coal industry. We have a steel industry. We know what it is like to have industries that don't.
I don't think maybe New York audiences couldn't find a way of relating to it.
Thank you. Good point. Bye. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Exactly right. No, that's exactly it. I bet you it will do well regionally. I don't know. People should do it.
I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly, especially in towns in which labor is scarce or people feel like jobs are starting to disappear. That's a good one to go and see. You're right. You're absolutely right, Kevin. Really cool. Good points.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to go watch that clip to cheer myself up.
You say veritable who's who of who cares.
Oh, my gosh. And we should post the Her Villages trailer. We should do that.
Hey, guys, just when the night it's on HBO, please. I cannot receive any calls or texts. Luckily, I have no friends to call or text me anyway. So this all works out perfectly.
Oh, Rob. Oh, Rob.
It's called a joke. It's called a joke. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Bye, everyone.
Why are you saying goodbye? Why are you leaving me? Fine. Everyone walks out on me. When my own mother did it, I cried for a week. But you know what? I'm not crying. Shit. What did she say? Shit. So there's some queen listening being like, she says this. I'm apologizing to you.
There it is.
That's it. For pushing you in the back. Finished.
There it is.
We're just beginning. And there's no stopping us this time. And then this is, Arthur. So I don't really sing. So this is where I'm going to speak it as a monologue. Is that okay, Mr. Lawrence? He's shaking his head no. Have you ever read, very quickly, and then we'll get off the air.
No, I'm sure.
Have you read Arthur Lawrence's book mainly on directing?
No, I have not, actually.
That's got to be a favorite thing at some point. Because that's a whole other story. Okay, never
really?
Mind. That'll be for, that's another story. Never mind. Anyway. Dazzle into the woods. Come on here.
That was actually.
Thank you. You see, that's what I really love about musical theater people is they can take like a musical theater quote and just sort of integrate it into every. I always love when somebody says the word chemistry and I'll be like, yeah, chemistry. And then they'll just think I'm a perv for chemistry and they don't understand what I'm doing. Oh, by the way, you know what I listen to a lot and fairly quickly in terms of albums that I listen to? I listen to that Guys and Dolls recording so much. The one from 76 that used
so good. The
Actors
the
of Color.
Black
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
love it, love
good.
It, love it, love it, love it. God, I am dying to get Ernestine Jackson on this podcast. And every time she's always doing something else. So please, Ernestine, if you listen or if anyone knows Ernestine Jackson, would you tell her we're harmless and we really, really want her on the podcast? Please. I'll beg. I'll even sing my own rendition of Sidewalk Tree from Raisin just to inspire her.
Oh, good one.
Nobody wants to see that.
No.
Why don't we have a revival of Raisin? Thank you. Yep. Just questions out there. Yep. Raisin, Tony Award-winning musical, never been revived.
Yeah.
Redhead, Tony Award-winning musical, never been revived.
City of Angels?
City of Angels never. No, City of Angels. Oh, shit.
It lost?
No. City of Angels did win Best Musical.
Will Rogers Follies?
Will Rogers never been revived. Oh, and can you believe it? We're actually at the point now where we can actually say that those shows should be revived?
Isn't that crazy?
Like, what is it, 20? I would say 20 years? So what? Yeah. What? We're at 2018, that's 98. Maybe Titanic is coming in, they said, with might be coming in soon. What else? Spider-Woman's never been revived. What?
Yeah. That was 93, yeah. Or 93.
Spider-Woman's
yeah.
never been revived. Crazy for You has not been revived.
Talk of that, too.
Well, there was a talk of a Spider-Woman revival. That they did a reading at Roundabout. It was Audra McDonald was Spider-Woman. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was Alan Cumming and Raul Esparza.
Oh, wow.
As the two guys.
Man.
I'm like, where the hell is that?
I know.
Where's that?
Delicious.
Roundabout's not doing it because they've announced that they're doing dancing again. This is a joke for us. Every year, Roundabout, this was for a long time. Every year, Roundabout was like, we're doing dancing, and it's directed and choreographed by Graziella Danielle. And every year, you know what would happen? Not dancing. That's what would happen. Every year, not
cabaret
dancing.
Revival.
Well, just let's see, do cabaret. I don't want to see cabaret again. I don't want to see Alan Cumming's nipples. I want to see dancing. I want to see dancing.
Oh, Rob,
I've never seen dancing. Well, who has? Who has? That's not on the Tams Whitmark catalog. Although I'd love to see some community theater do dancing somewhere.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't. Just box steps. Just 20 box steps for Sing Sing Sing. Anything else?
Listening anymore. I think we lost everybody.
Fiorello's never been revived.
Brigadoon.
I don't think Brigadoon won Best Musical. I don't think that it was around when the Tony Awards were around. But everything else I think has been revived except Raisin, Redhead, Fiorello.
Hallelujah, Baby.
Oh, that's another one. Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch here, guys.
Yeah. So there you go.
I get angry when I see shows getting revived that didn't even get nominated for a musical, Best Musical Tony Award.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I see something like, what are you doing? Or didn't win, I should say. Didn't win. Like, right. What are you doing here?
Maybe it was a good show. Maybe it was a bad year. Maybe it was a tough year. Maybe it was Sunday in the Park with George.
You're telling me we've had a revival of Edwin Drood, but we haven't had a revival of...
Quilters?
Quilters. I've told you the Quilter story, right? Where the woman farted on stage.
Oh my gosh, yes, Rob.
During the tornado sequence. Okay, really quickly for our listeners, then we'll go.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm tired. I'm tired, but I'm going to tell you this story just in case you haven't heard it before. Okay, so I went to go see Quilters for my birthday once, and I was at this community theater in Los Angeles, and there's a scene in Quilters where there's a tornado or a hurricane, a tornado, because it's the prairie, and it sweeps through, and all the women are laying on stage, and they're all, like, dead, and it's dead silence in the audience, like, oh, my God, who survived, who didn't? And one of the women just farted. She just farted. She just let one go in the middle of Quilters. Most entertaining thing I saw all night. Thank you. Good night.
Tune into episode favorite things number 12.
I took NyQuil.
The same story.
I took NyQuil. I shouldn't have taken NyQuil before.
You can hear the same story in episode 12 of my favorite things.
Just take me back to the home where I can't bother anybody. All right. Till next time.
Thank you, Rob.
Literally, till next time. Maybe there might not be a next time. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Oh, say goodbye, Kevin. They're waiting for you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.